It is because of the Lord's mercy that we have not been consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is the faithfulness of our God. Is there anybody this morning that has a praise for the faithfulness of God? Can you honor God for his consistency? Can you honor God for his day in, day out toward you? The Bible says that he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Aren't you glad today that you serve a God that will stay in the midst of anything, that will remain despite of whatever? I believe the Hebrew name for him is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, he's the Lord God that is there. He's the Lord God that's there. He remains consistent in all of his ways. And so we celebrate him this morning. Awake Zion and let praises rise. Awake Zion and let praises fill the atmosphere. Awake Zion and lift your voice and magnify God. Awake Zion and come into his presence with thanksgiving. Awake Zion and come into his presence with singing. Awake Zion and elevate your thoughts to think on the goodness of God. Awake Zion and posture your heart to honor, to reverence, to exalt. Oh, the value of our God. He is a valuable asset in our lives. He is the most valuable asset in our lives, and he deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be lifted. He deserves to be extolled. You ought to say something to him right now. You ought to lift him right now, not because I asked you to, but because he desires to hear from you. He desires to hear your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to say something to him now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That said, roll over from your slumber. Mumble something to the Lord. Say something to the Lord. Uplift and magnify his name. For great is your God, and your God is worthy of the praise. Well, bless the Lord. To each of you, I am Pastor Joe Brown here at the House of Healing DMV in Capitol Heights, Maryland. And I am so appreciative of you sharing with us on this Wednesday, July 13th, on our House of Healing Empowerment Call. Thank you, thank you, thank you for dialing in on this morning. Thank you for rising to share with us. Certainly, we appreciate you. You're stuck with me this morning, but hopefully you'll be blessed by what comes across this airwaves. Certainly, we honor our co-pastor, Co-Pastor Lakeisha Brown. We celebrate her, all of our leaders in their respective places. We celebrate them as well. Do me a favor and text your Wednesday HOHDMV Day accountability partner. Make sure that they're up. Make sure that they're on the call. Make sure that they are enjoying this opportunity to worship and to honor God. Before I move any further, just want to bring back to your remembrance a couple of announcements really quickly. We are not having prayer and Bible study tonight or for the rest of the month of July. We will not have prayer and Bible study tonight or for the rest of the month of July. Please mark your calendars for upcoming events that are coming up. Fifth Sunday in July is our next virtual Sunday, so we will have Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:30, and then, of course, worship service is at 11. On August 25th and August 26th is our end of the summer revival. On August 25th, our guest speaker is Pastor Zena Pierre from Bethel Restoration Church. Our guest musical artist is Ryan Benson Ford and Ministry. On Friday, August 26th, we'll have Elder Daryl Brown out of Greater Bible Way. He's out of Greater Bible Way. And our guest psalmist is Chester Burke and Company. So you want to avail yourself to those services. They promise to be great. I believe God's going to speak to us, and we're going to have a great time of worship. Join us for our pre-anniversary service on Friday, September 16th. Friday, September 16th. Oh, and I forgot, Sunday, August 28th is our fourth annual Fitness Sunday, our fourth annual Fitness Sunday. So you want to come dressed in your fitness attire, ready to move your body. Our guest is Pastor LaShonda Taubert from the Life Church. And if you know anything about her, she's also the owner of Fit for Life Studios. So fitness is her life. This is the first time we've had a female clinician to share with us and lead us in our day. So I know it's going to be a great blessing. So come on out for our fourth annual Fitness Sunday on Sunday, August 28th. You want to mark your calendars. There are dates available on our website for our month in October, which is our fifth anniversary month. We have some services coming along there. You're going to enjoy those and the guests that we have lined up for that. And then, of course, Men's Weekend is November 5th and 6th, and Ladies Weekend is November 11th through the 13th. And you can find additional information on all of that on our happenings page on our website, houseofhealingdmv.com. But we look forward to you sharing with us in all of these events and pray that they are a blessing and a stimulant to your life. This morning, I just want to look at two verses found in Psalm 59. Psalm 59, verses 16 through 17. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. I would like to use for a thought on this morning, there is strength in your song. There is strength in your song. Like so many of the Psalms that mean so much, this is one that outlines the many problems, mountainous difficulties, troublous times, and numerous enemies that were surrounding David on every side. He wrote this psalm when Saul's hatred of him began to be openly displayed, and the bitter-hearted king sought out ways to murder David, who had to flee the area in order to keep his life safe. David opened up his heart. He opened up his heart to the Lord, and his urgent prayer for help and deliverance poured forth with reckless abandonment. David felt that enemies trampled over him all day long, and many more sought to kill him. Opposition from without and fears from within were the highlight of this particular psalm, just as the external anxieties and internal struggles we face today can similarly blight our own lives. But after a catalog of calamities and a long list of laments, the glories of God started to stream into view as David changes direction and continues by casting all of his cares on the Lord and laying all of his burdens down at the Savior's feet. He says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." And as his prayer moved into a crescendo of praise, he continued, "I will trust in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid." David chose to call to mind the faithfulness of God and reflect on the strength of his powerful Lord, whose loving kindness lasts for 1,000 generations, and whose great goodness and mercy will follow all who trust in him. His enemies may still seek his life, but David knew in whom he believed and was convinced that the Lord was able to keep him, deliver him, protect him, and fulfill the promises he had made to his servant. David took time to recall the many mercies of God and the tenderness of his good shepherd. "You have taken account of my wanderings." That's what he wrote. He said, "You have collected all my tears and put them in your bottle." David knew the God of his salvation, and David was comforted to know that the Lord had scheduled every day of his life and that his name was written in God's precious book. David had the revelation that Elder Dyer spoke about on Sunday, that trouble won't last always. We see David's fearful attitude changing as his heart turned heavenward. His cries for help turned into a song of rejoicing as he recalled God's faithfulness. And he sang out, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Remembering his past mercies is indeed a wonderful way to remove all the enemies of doubt and fear that trouble our minds and linger in our hearts. And recalling his many precious promises help to strengthen our faith in God. Like so many of the Psalms of David that mean much to all of us, this is a reminder to glorify God in our darkest days, as well as in our times of joy. Psalm 59 is a reminder not to allow fear to take root in our heart, but to speedily turn the eyes of our heart back to God. The joy of the Lord strengthened our heart, and David was learning the benefit of lifting up his voice to the Lord in the morning hours. Even as I commanded or asked some of you to lift up your voice and praise God, some of you did not even do it. You didn't do it because you have not internalized the true benefit of lifting your voice up to God, or you just take it as rhetoric. You just take it as something that is being said. It's just mere words that are lost on you because you're either too churched, all right, and you've heard it said over and over again that you've lost the true meaning of the affirmation. And that becomes the danger of people that have been in church too long and too often. Church becomes a repetitive act without meaning. Church becomes something that is habitual, but you lose the meaning and the truth of why we do what we do because it falls prey to the various situations in your life, or it just simply falls prey to the routine of who you are. And then when that happens, you run the risk of drying out, of dying out, of emptying out. And so you serve God with a dry spirit. You offer up a dry praise. And what we have in church today is we have people whose praises are stale, people whose praises are dry because they fail to lift their voice continually up to the Lord and keep a saturated praise. Therefore, worship leaders have to jump over hoops, and exhorters have to make sure that they are at their peak, at their optimum, before hands are even lifted, before mouths are even open, before people even move into some type of demonstrative and expressionist act of praise, because we don't come to the church house with praise already stoked in our fire. We don't come to the church house with a fiery soul that is already lit to honor and to adore and to pour adoration upon God, because in church, we're still programmed to respond to what is happening with the mic versus being programmed to what God has done in our life and how God has met us in our spirit. But here, what I appreciate about David is that David, even in the midst of all of what was going on, instead of dwelling on his problems, David quickly turned to prayer and praise with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we should follow his example because it helps to bolster our faith and lighten the load. Let us, with joyful abandon, sing of God's power and make music in our hearts to him as we lift up holy hands to our faithful God and join our voices together in grateful hymns and prayer of praise, for his mercies are new every morning and his grace is sufficient no matter what we are going through. Let us sing aloud of his mercy in the morning and reflect on his goodness and grace all day long. Let us rejoice and be glad, for God is our defense and our defender. He is our refuge in the day of my trouble and our stronghold from the storms of life. For from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. May we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and bow down before him, for his name is greatly to be praised. So Psalm 59 teaches us, and it reminds us of the power of our song, because there's strength in your song. Your song, number one, releases God's presence. Your song releases God's presence. Certainly, we know this in a corporate setting as we weekly enjoy the talents and gifts of our praise team. However, how do we use our voice in our private time? What do we sing to the Lord without instrumentation, without an exhorter, without a worship leader to carry the atmosphere for us? Is your voice alone powerful enough to invoke God's presence? Yes, it is. Use it. Use it. When you sing, you obey. When you sing, you obey. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." That is not a request. That is a command. So when you sing, you obey. Out of your obedience, you will see the manifested presence of God. As you search through the psalm, and if you have been really walking with us over these last 59 chapters, you will see how singing has been present throughout the book. Singing has been present throughout the book. Why? Because David was in a place, or in a place several times, where he really needed the presence of God. And one of the easiest, quickest, and sure ways to bring the presence of God into your situation, wherever you are and wherever it's going on, is to lift your voice and sing to God. There ought not be a time where the worship leader has to beg you to participate in corporate worship. If you know the song, sing. If you know the song, lift your voice, not because the worship leader asked you to, but because God is looking for your voice. And when you release your voice, you are guaranteed to connect with the presence of God. Number two, your song releases God's defense. The stronghold of the enemy is broken through the power of your voice. As you sing, God rises and breaks down things for you. Ephesians 5 and 19 says it's very hard to lie, be greedy, or to look at something inappropriate when you're singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. In other words, a heart that's doing that will not easily give in to temptation. A heart that has postured itself to sing before the Lord, a heart that has postured itself to meditate on God, is a heart at war with the works of the enemy, all right, and the power of sin. So it becomes a defense. Your singing becomes a shield, all right? And when you use that as part of your defense and your shield, it will be incredibly hard to participate in inappropriate behavior. You have to understand that singing is also an act of war. It's an act of war. How do I know? Because when Saul was being tormented and Saul was being tortured, they said that they were looking for someone that could bless and help Saul. And so what they did is that they went and they found David. They brought David back to the palace. What David really did was something called the Zamar praise, Z-A-M-A-R, the Zamar praise, which is a Hebrew praise. The Zamar praise is the adding of instrumentation to something. It is the adding of instrumentation. What did David add instrumentation to? He added instrumentation to singing. He was already singing. He was already a worshiper. So he added the sound of the harpist to his songs. That is what the book of Psalms is. It is filled with poetry and songs. So that's what David was ministering, all right? It was the Zamar praise. He went into worship. He went into war, and his singing became a defense for Saul. His singing became a defense for Saul. When you sing Zion, you become a defense. Hallelujah. You will see, hallelujah, how God can protect, how God will cause you to prevail. You will see his hand flowing over your life. Once again, why haven't you lifted up your voice yet? Once again, why haven't you said anything to him this morning? Once again, why hasn't your sound came out of your mouth yet? Once again, why do you always have to be coached to lift up your voice? It is because we sit on a powerful tool and a powerful weapon that we do not use often enough independently. We don't use often enough independently. Lastly, your song releases God's ability to refresh you. It releases God's ability to refresh you. When you sing the word, you allow the roots of your spirit to deepen and your faith to elevate, thereby bringing a freshness to you. Aside from teaching, singing is one of the chief ways that God's word dwells in us richly. This is why a lot of times in the Old Testament, after the prophets would minister, there would be a song of the Lord, right? Something called the song of the Lord. What would the song of the Lord contain? The lyrics or the contents of the song of the Lord would contain part of the instruction or the message that was released by the prophet. And so what happens is they would sing, and the song of the Lord would be released so that the instruction of the Lord would be cemented in their heart, so that the instruction of the Lord would be cemented in their mind, and it would cause them to dig deeper roots into the things of God, and their faith would be elevated. Music has the power to engage our minds and move our hearts. Lyrics filled with God's truth express what we believe and move the truth into our soul. It is not just good enough to have head knowledge. And a lot of believers only seek head knowledge, but that knowledge does not move into their soul. Therefore, there is no productivity or activity of the very word that they have heard preached, taught, prophesied, because it does not move into their soul. It only becomes knowledge. It only becomes notes on the paper. But when words move into your soul, then words will produce in your life. You will see something born out of your womb because the word of God has moved from just mere knowledge, just a mere reaction from praise and worship, to something that is cemented in your soul. This is why after a sermon, after a prophetic move, there is a song of the Lord that rises, because God wants you to leave his presence with something that will keep your faith elevated. And this is why Zephaniah 3:17 says that the Lord sings over us. He sings over us so that the song of the Lord resonates in our spirit. Our faith comes alive, but then that song, that instruction, that word, seeps into our soul, and then we then produce what God intended for us to produce out of his word. And what we have today is people that lack the productivity of God. Singing, hallelujah, singing releases God's ability to refresh you. Psalm 5:11, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. Here is the other thing. When singing refreshes you, singing leads you to joy. Psalm 5 and 11 says, let them ever sing for joy. All right? Singing will push you into joy. In closing this morning, I've come to tell somebody to resurrect your song. Resurrect your song. Your voice has been too silent. Your voice has been quiet. Resurrect your song. Sing in the Hebrew comes from the word shir, S-H-I-R, but it's pronounced like shir, S-H-E-E-R, S-H-I-R in the Hebrew. And that means to listen and then repeat. Listen and then repeat. Is that not what the Israelites had to do when the prophets would come? They would listen what? They would listen to the message from the prophet, and then they would repeat it. And sometimes it will be repeated in song form. All right? It would be repeated in song form. And that is what you need to do. You take the word of God. You listen, and then you repeat it. You shear. You listen, and you repeat it. You listen, and then you sing. You listen, and then you repeat it. You have to use your voice in this season. I know I'm not a talker. I don't say much. I don't do. It's not about you. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. It is about the commandment of God. And you've got to fall under the commandment of God. And the commandment of God is for you to open your mouth and lift your voice. It has nothing to do with your shyness, your introvertedness, your temperament, your masculinity, your femininity. It has nothing to do with any of that. Every person that names the name of Jesus Christ is called to open your mouth, lift up your voice, because you have to share. There is a connectivity, a distinct connectivity with listening to the promise and the instruction of God and then repeating it with your mouth, opening your mouth so that there becomes an attachment to your soul. There has to become an attachment to your soul. The power of a song, any song, in the life of a Christian can be a powerful tool. I've discovered this tool isn't used as often as it should be. What David was doing in Psalm 59 and 16 was connecting with God. Sometimes life can be so challenging, tiresome, overwhelming, that you can struggle to find your connecting point. You may not want to read scripture. You may not want to have, you may not have the words to pray. God knows you don't feel like fasting. You know, you may not even want to come to church, but there is a strength in your song. Your song can be that connector to keep your faith moving, to keep the Spirit of the living God and His Word flowing throughout your heart and your mind. It's a way of keeping God's Word in your spirit. What David was doing in Psalm 59, because the last few chapters, dating back about 56 or so, were very tough for David, very tough period. David was resurrecting his song and weaponizing it against the fatigue of life. In closing, I've come to tell somebody that there is still strength in your song. Use your voice. Activate your voice. Lift up your song. Turn up your music and have a party in Jesus. Turn up your music and have a worship fest in Jesus. And watch some of the cares of your world begin to dissipate. Watch the lightness of God begins to fill your environment. Watch the joy of the Lord begins to take root in your heart. Watch the word of God begins to come active. All right, you want to sing and make melody in your heart. When you do it, it's a command. It's a command. It's not about anything about you, but it's a command unto God. And so we come into obedience of the command. So whoever you are this morning, go resurrect your song. Go resurrect your song and trust the God of our salvation to do great and mighty things in your life. Father, today we pray, O Lord, that there is strength in the songs of your people, that they will lift up their voice, Lord, and they will sing unto you, that they will magnify you through song on today, in this season, in this hour, no matter where their life is, God, that they will find a way to elevate the sound of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Let your song permeate richly through them. Let your song stir in them. Let your song dig deeper roots of faith in them. In the name of Jesus, place the song of the Lord in their heart. Place a song in their spirit. And God, as it attaches to their soul, let faith come alive. Let expectation rise. Let hope rise in the midst of your people. In the name of Jesus, we celebrate your people today, God, and we pray that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. So we release them back into your hands today, and we pray that you would bless them from the crown of their head down to the sole of their feet, that life will be in them, that hope will be in them, that joy will be in them, and that everything concerns them and connects them will be under the blood of the Lamb and arrive into a place of safety and wellness that you have ordained and predestined for their lives. We give them back to you as we celebrate and honor you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.